You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, good morning, Houston's First. How are we doing today? All right. Well, I just want to say hello to all of the campuses and tell you what a joy and a privilege it is to be filling in for my good friend, Pastor Greg Mott. Greg is someone that the Lord has used to really shape the spiritual trajectory of my life, all the way starting back in college. And I know that several of you now, as members of the church that he leads, you can say the same thing, that God has used him in your life in really a profound way. So what an honor and a privilege it is to fill in for him today. I just want to start by telling you of something that happened several years ago. Shortly after I graduated from college, one of my close friends decided that he was going to propose to his girlfriend in New York City at Christmas time, and he asked me if he could pay for my trip to New York so that I could come and videotape his engagement. Now, I don't know if you would need to pray about that decision. I felt like the Lord was like, T.A., I want you to go to New York for free. So I ended up going. But there was one condition to my friend paying for my trip, and it was that I carry the engagement ring from Texas to New York City. Now, let me just tell you, this is not a story about me losing the ring. So that's a good, praise God. Like, they got engaged, the ring is on her finger to this day. So we're in a good place. But I agreed to do that. And so I took that ring and I put it in the front pocket of my backpack. I boarded a plane. I took that ring from Texas to New York. And his engagement really spanned the city. Like, there were many stops on his tour of engagement. And so I carried that ring all over the city. That ring has been a New York subway system. That ring has been on a New York bus. That ring has been in a pile of leaves that I was lying down in so that I could videotape an engagement without his girlfriend seeing me videotape their engagement. That ring has been in Rockefeller Center. That ring has been all over New York. Now, I will never forget sitting on the subway, New York City, a very full subway, and I had my backpack with the ring in it just sitting on the ground in between my feet. Now, again, the ring's fine. But I remember that ring in my bag sitting on the ground in between my feet. And as I sat there, it's like I woke up. And in that moment, I realized the value that was sitting in my backpack, that I actually had something in my backpack sitting in between my feet on the ground of a New York subway that was going to shape someone's future. And when I was reminded of the value of the ring that was sitting on the ground in between my feet, that backpack moved from the floor to my lap to my bear hug hands. See, there was a shift in relationship with what was most valuable in my possession. And the reason that I even tell you that story this morning is because part of me wonders if our relationship with God's word is similar to the relationship I had with my friend's engagement ring. I wonder if we go through life just not truly realizing the value of what we have in our possession. And the word of God, it will shape your future, but it will most certainly shape your present. And so what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to come from College Station to Houston to just remind you of the value of the Word of God which you have in your possession. Because here's the thing, we're taking this book all over the place with us. Like, you might be sitting there saying, I don't take my Bible to work. Well, if you have a phone, you do. Because you can access the Bible through the World Wide Web at any point. And sometimes I wonder if the Bible needs to move from the desk to our hands to our heart, just like that backpack had to move from the ground to my lap. And so this morning, I just wanted to invite you in to say, you know what? I know that Greg has just been really directing you to maximize 2020. And last week was all about building your faith. And if you remember the chair, he talked about four things that provide the foundation for building your faith. But one of the legs of that chair was really the Word of God. He talked about knowing what you believe. He asked the question, where's your wobble? My concern is that the wobble is with the Word. that many of us have a wobble in our life that we're not even aware of, and that wobble has to do with our lack of value, really, for the Word of God. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to ask you to treasure the Word of God in 2020. If you have a Bible, turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 4, if you're looking for a good book that'll help you value the Word among other things in your life, a helpful book for this talk and just life in general is called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. It's a great read. I'd encourage you to check it out. I just want you to think, what if this year, 2020, you could say, I've never been closer to Jesus? How great would that be to be able to say, I'm not talking about physical proximity. God's always right there with us. I'm talking about experientially. What if you could say, I've never been closer to Jesus? I promise you, you cannot be close to God without a close relationship to His Word. Okay? So here we go, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, which is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And the reason that I want to look at this story briefly is because Jesus is going to unpack a high-level theology of the Word of God for us. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 4. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And so all eyes on me. What I need you to do is I need you to picture what you would feel if you hadn't eaten in 40 days. Many of you would be very hangry, okay? Hunger, angry, put together, like that's where you would be. I need you to think, no Chick-fil-A for 40 days. No El Tiempo for 40 days. Where would you be? I need you to picture a Jesus that has just lost 20 pounds in 40 days. I need you to picture a very weak, shaky Jesus because of a lack of nourishment. Here's how things continue. Verse 3, it says this, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And so Satan shows up, and what does he do? He gives Jesus an opportunity to do something about his hunger. Here's Jesus' response. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So not only does Jesus deny himself the opportunity to satisfy his hunger, but what he does is he establishes what should be our understanding and our theology of the Word of God. Because what he does is he takes the hunger symptoms, physical hunger symptoms, and he transitions it to a spiritual appetite. And his point is this, just like you need food to survive physically, you need the Word of God to survive spiritually. He puts the Word of God on the same level of importance as food and oxygen are for your body. That's why the Anglican bishop and New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says this. He says, the Bible is the book of my life. It's the book I live with, the book I live by, the book I want to die by. Let me just ask you, what importance do you place on the Word of God in your life? Like, how much of a necessity is it for you? Like, if somehow we were to kind of roll the video on the last week of your life, I know that sounds terrifying, we are not doing that right now, but if somehow the highlights of your last week were to play, would the Bible, in your interaction with it, make the highlight reel? Like, would the Bible make it on your top 10 in terms of what is most essential for your life? If you're like, of course, top 10, no doubt. Top 5, what about that? Top 3? Because according to Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what he's saying? He's saying you cannot be close to God without being close to his word. We have to learn to value what he values. What he values is his people treasuring the word of God. Some of you might sit here and say, well, I don't read the Bible that often, but I pray a lot. And you know what? That's awesome. Prayer is actually one of the legs that was on the chair that Greg talked about last week. Prayer is so important. But what I need you to remember is the thing that interrupted the greatest intimacy that man has ever experienced with God. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve experienced the greatest intimacy any human beings have ever experienced with God. What interrupted that intimacy? A lack of value for the Word of God. And so this is me begging you to treasure His Word. Now, crucial to the conversation is 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul tells us this. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God. So put Matthew 4 and 2 Timothy 3 together. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. So we should live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Paul just informs us on the why we should. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. What does that mean? It means that the word of God will make you richer. I'm not talking about financial prosperity here. But the Bible will most certainly make you richer in terms of intimacy with God. It will move you closer to your maker. That's what you were made for. It's profitable for four things. The first two things go together and the last two things go together. It says that it's profitable for teaching. In the Greek, that's really referring to doctrine. It says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof. In the Greek, that word reproof, it's dealing with a conviction for what is false. So put those things together. Reading the Word of God gives you a correct understanding of what is true and what is false about God. See, we have to remember our views of God determine our responses to God. So if you're here this morning and your life right now has a small response to God, I'll tell you why that's the case. It's because you have a small view of God. Your response to God is directly driven by your view of God. What Scripture does is it aligns our understanding of God with the truth, and it helps us know what is true and what is false about God. So when you see God rightly, you begin to respond to Him more accurately. So that's why the Bible is profitable, is because it gives you an accurate and inflated view of God, but it's also profitable for correction and for training in righteousness. Correction is the idea of it. It puts you on the path, the correct path of morality. It shows you the life that is most pleasing to God, and it's profitable for training in righteousness. Righteousness meaning that the Word of God will conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I love that. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Why? Because when you know the Word of God, you have an accurate understanding of God. Your view of God is accurate. But so is your response. Your belief and your behavior are in alignment. And so your world can be falling down around you, but there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and God will sustain you through the storm as your view of Him and your response to Him are in line with what you've learned from His Word. So here's what I want to do with the remainder of my time. I just want to invite you to prioritize three things in 2020 in relation to the Word of God so that you can say, you know, I've never been closer to Jesus. This year, 2020, I am building my faith. First thing I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to prioritize hearing it. Prioritize hearing the Word of God taught. Here's what Luke 11:28 says. It says, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. When I talk about hearing the Word of God, I'm talking about making a commitment to hearing the Word of God taught on a weekly basis in a public setting. I'm talking about doing what we're doing right now. So let me just beg you to commit to making it to church, to hear the Word of God taught every Sunday this year that you are in town. Make a commitment from now. I will be at church every Sunday that I'm in town. And when you're out of town, find a church to go to. But commit to being in church to hear the Word of God taught. It doesn't matter how busy your weekend was. It doesn't matter how much of the night that you were up. Make a commitment. A few weeks ago, God was working on me to practice what I'm preaching now. And we had a horrendous Saturday night with one of our kids. Here's what you need to know. In the Atik household, I have three boys, 10, 8, and 2. My kids do not have a place in my bed. They don't belong there. They are not allowed in my bed. That bed is for my wife and for me, not them. They can sleep on the couch that's by my bed. They cannot sleep in my bed. On that Saturday night, there was a kid in my bed. All right, that's where we got on that Saturday night. Like, we got so far past the point of return, there was a kid in my bed. And so my wife and I barely slept that night. It was a terrible night. Where were we Sunday morning? We were at church. Why? Not to just go for the sake of going. No, we went to hear from God. And I'm so glad that I went. I wouldn't have missed it for the world, because God met me and he spoke to me there. It's a challenge sometimes to get to church, but commit to being there. And let me just encourage you. When you're coming to church, prepare your heart to come and hear from God. Like, I don't know what your expectation was of this morning, but if you came here expecting anything less than to hear from God, your expectations are too low, because God's here to meet with you and to speak to you. But a lot of times we're kind of coming in hot to church. Like, we're showing up late, and I'm not ragging on you if you're late. I mean, I get it. It's kind of weird. Like, we leave home at the same time every Sunday, and we're late the same amount of time every Sunday. And it's like, how does this not, like, we left at this time. Like, how do we not make it? And we do this, like, for years. And we're like, we can't make it to church on time. Like, why doesn't, like, time change to, like, work with what we're doing? It doesn't work. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Try leaving 5 minutes earlier. Getting here 5 minutes, that's the solution. Like, leave earlier. I don't know if you've considered that. I mean, my wife and I, we're still trying to get there. And just think, man, so many times we're coming in here, we're flying in hot, and we get into our seat, and it takes us so long to just, like, drown out the noise of our lives. And I just wonder if we got here a little bit earlier before the service starts and we're just able to sit for a moment to get ready to hear from God. I'm just wondering what could happen. Just want to ask you to consider it. And then when you're here, drown out distractions, like, cancel them out. One thing that I've started doing is I've started putting my phone on Do Not Disturb while I'm in church, and I've started bringing a hard copy of the scriptures instead of using the Bible on my phone, because if I use my phone and notifications start popping up, it's a distraction. But if God wants to speak to me, I don't want anything getting in the way of me hearing from him. If the God of the universe has something to say to me, I want to hear it, and I hope you do as well. And then I want to encourage you to take notes. I love that Houston's First provides you a place to take notes. But this is where God has convicted me lately, because I haven't been a note taker at church. Like I was when I was in college. I still have notes from Greg Mott. But then I stopped taking notes. And a few weeks back, God was like, okay, so let me get this straight, Timothy. You don't think I'm going to say anything important enough to write down. Is that what's happening here? And so I was like, okay, I get it. I started taking notes. Last Sunday was my first Sunday to take notes in a long time. And it was my favorite Sunday at church I've had in a long time. Because I was ready, and I was more attentive than ever, and I was taking down what God was saying. And it was so meaningful. I just want to encourage you, take notes. Come ready to hear from God. And then believe that there's value in being present. Can you podcast? Sure. Can you watch the live stream? Sure, but let's just be clear, it's not the same. It's not the same. There's value in showing up and being surrounded by the body of Christ and seeking the Lord together. Would you prioritize hearing the Word of God in 2020? Second, would you prioritize reading it? Prioritize reading the Word of God. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? What's that next word? I'll tell you it, because you're not telling it to me. May be complete, equipped for every good work. it's implying that without the Word of God, you are incomplete. So let's just be clear. If you're not reading, you're not growing. It's impossible to be a mature follower of Christ without reading this book. Recorded readings of the Bible have demonstrated that you can actually read the entire Bible from cover to cover in 72 hours or less. 72 hours or less. Now, if you're in between the ages of 18 and 25, then what one survey said about you is that people in this generation are on social media for an average of 3 hours a day. And I don't know if that's you, if you're like, I'm not even close to 3 hours. Let's just go with 3 hours as the average. Like if you were to take the time that you're spending on social media and just devote it to reading the Bible, like you don't have to sleep any less, you don't have to choose to not go to school or to work, it's just not looking at social media for a period of time and reading the Bible, you would finish the entire Bible in 3.5 weeks. So like if you're like, well, I'm not on for 3 hours. Okay, are you on for an hour? Okay, that means that you'd be done with the whole Bible in less than 3 months. Okay, some of y'all are like, I don't do social media. I don't even know what you're talking about when you say those words, social media. Okay, well, let's just go a different direction. For 15 minutes a day reading the Bible, you will finish the Bible in a year or less. 5 minutes a day, you'll finish it in 3 years or less. Unfortunately, many people will go their whole lives never having read the entire Bible. Yet Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let me just encourage you, if you're not on a Bible reading plan, get on one. Like if you do that deal where you're like, okay, God, where are we going to be today? Numbers, dang it. Like, why do I always turn to numbers? Like, God, what are you doing? Like, if that's your deal, get on a Bible reading plan. Just Google Bible reading plan. I promise you, there's so many different options out there. It's worth it. Put time with God on your calendar. Like, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. You're not just going to, like, stumble into it. Do it with other people. Have some people in your life that's like, hey, let's get up at the same time. Let's just text each other after we've read. As a form of accountability. Try doing what your pastor did when he was in college. He didn't eat physically till he had eaten spiritually. And then let me encourage you to read this book like your life depends on it. Don't read it like a newspaper. Read it like your life depends on it. Because when you do that, you're going to study it. Jerry Bridges says this, reading gives us breath, but study gives us depth. And then let me just say this, you know, devotionals are great supplements, but not great substitutes. And what I mean by devotional, I'm talking about like you've subscribed to that blog with someone who gives kind of like some general, like motivational encouragement. That's a good thing. But you know what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why I love Pastor Greg's devotional book that he puts out. What does it start with? Starts with the Word of God. The third thing that I want to encourage you to do this year, so that this will be a year where you're able to say, you know, I've never been closer to Jesus. You want to build your faith, then don't just hear it, don't just read it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. What does it mean to meditate? It means to think deeply about something, to think carefully. Biblical meditation is to think deeply about what you've read to the point that it drills down from your mind to your heart. And when I talk about the heart, I'm talking about the control center of your being. It's where your desires and your motives and your convictions reside. I'm talking about your engagement with the Word actually changing who you are and how you live. How do you meditate? Try memorizing a verse. Just take one verse this week, memorize it. Just try it. That way the Word of God will be on repeat in your mind this week. When you read something, try and put it in your own wording. Like a couple weeks ago, I read the story of Judas betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But then right after it, I read about the woman who anointed Jesus with a very costly bottle of perfume. And I walked away just saying, is Jesus going to be my treasure like this woman who gave everything to worship Jesus? Or is he going to be my trade-in? Like, I'm going to trade Jesus for something else, just like Judas traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Put it in your own words so it will stick with you. And then apply it. Let me just tell you the four questions that I ask myself when reading the Bible. There's plenty of more questions you could ask yourself. This is just what I do personally. I ask myself these four questions. Number one, what is this passage about? Because when I answer that, I have to walk through the passage so that I internalize it and understand it. Number two, how does the gospel of Jesus Christ inform this passage? Like, how does Jesus Christ dying for our sins and rising from the dead have anything to do with this passage? And then number three, how is this passage personal to me? And then number four, how will my life be different this week because of what I have read? Hear it, read it, meditate on it. I want to close this morning by just asking you to think about this. Like, we're talking this morning about you having a year where you're able to say, you know what, I've never been closer to Jesus. But you need to understand that you have an enemy, Satan, and his goal for you this year is not that you would say, I've never been closer to Jesus. He wants you to say, I've never been further from Jesus. Not physical proximity. I'm talking about experientially where you feel distant from God. That's his desire for you. So here's what we need to think about. We need to weigh out the exposure our mind has to truth, the truth of God's word versus the lies of the evil one. So I want you to think of this side of the scale simply as the lies of the enemy. And what this side of the scale does is it tips you towards distance. This side of the scale is the truth of God's word. What does it do? It tips you towards nearness. See, what we have to understand is that we have an enemy who's known as the father of lies. So the main way that he accomplishes his purposes in our lives is by lying to us. This right here, these are just small little weights. That's what he aims to do in our life. He aims to add weight to our lives to tip us away from God. So you need to know he's constantly lying to us about who God is. He's saying God is really not that great. God is really not that good. God is really not that in control of your life. God really doesn't care that much. God really isn't that satisfying. God really isn't that worth it. See, he's lying to you about God, but he's not just lying to you about God, he's lying to you about you. He's saying, you know what? You are a failure. You really aren't enough. You are what you do. God loves you, but he really doesn't like you. The gospel is try harder. He's lying to you about God. He's lying to you about you. And you know what? He's lying to you about sin. He's saying, you know what? It's just not that big of a deal. You've done it once. It won't hurt to just do it one more time. And you know what? You can always do it and just ask for forgiveness later. Do you see this? Like, this is the evil one's work in our lives, tipping us towards distance from God. And you know what we want to do? These are pennies right here. We talked about the word of God being profitable. What we want to do is we want to say, you know what? I've had a busy month, but you know what? I make it to church about twice a month. I mean, I'm out of town a lot, I'm traveling a lot, I'm going to see the grandkids a lot, I'm going to weddings a lot. There's just times that I just can't get there, but I'm making it to church about a couple times a month. You know what? I catch the sermon gram, like I see, you know, that 3-minute clip, and it's basically a good recap of what Pastor Greg talked about, and I follow Pastor Greg online, and he gives some really inspirational thoughts sometimes. Not sometimes, sorry, Greg. I mean, like all I mean, all the time, but you... Okay, moving on. But I do what I can. You know, I subscribe to that blog, and it's spiritual sometimes, and so that's really helpful. And you know what? I read my Bible, you know what, a few times, periodically, just because I felt guilty, and I did it. And this is our lives, and we're like, you know what? This month, cumulative total, you know what? I've interacted with the Word of God for about 4 hours and 30 minutes. I mean, there were those 2 hours at church, there was the 10 minutes reading that blog, and then there was two other 10-minute sections where I was reading the Bible. And I think our enemy is like, thank goodness they don't get it. Thank goodness they don't realize that I am lying to them every minute of every day about who God is, who they are, and what their sin is. They don't get it. And so what I'm begging you to do this morning is I'm begging you to treasure the Word of God. Because we said that the Word of God is profitable. This is a quarter. The Word of God is profitable. See, when you commit to hearing the Word of God, in reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, you have to remember what 1 John 4:4 says. It says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. See, God's truth carries more weight than the enemy's lies. And the Word of God speaks to you about God. Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He is sovereign. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, Jesus Christ has the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Colossians 1, 17, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. John 16, 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. That's who our God is. But the Word of God doesn't just inform us about God, it informs us about us. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Galatians 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. The Word of God tells us about God. It tells us about us, and it tells us about sin. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. Ephesians 5:3, there must not even be a hint of any sexual impurity or any type of immorality. 1 Peter 1:15, therefore be holy, for I am holy. I mean, do you get this? Do you see the need for the Word of God in your life? You have an enemy that is constantly after you, and yet God, in his love for us, has communicated to us so that we could know him, know ourselves, and live in right relationship to him, to ourselves, and to sin. You want to have a year, 2020, where you're able to say, you know what, I've never been closer to Jesus. Then you need to understand far greater and more valuable than any engagement ring could be. We have the Word of God. So may the Word of God move from our shelves to our hands toward our hearts. Because if we have the Word of God in our house, but it's not in our hearts, what's the point of having it at all? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for this morning. And I thank you that you loved us enough that you left heaven and you came to earth to have us. And I thank you, God, that you've given us your word, that we might know you more intimately. Lord, if there's anyone in this room this morning that doesn't have a relationship with you, then I pray that they would believe your word this morning, which says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I pray that for someone in this room this morning. But as we move on from this place into the week, Lord, my hope and prayer is that we would be people who know the value of your word, that it would move into our hearts, that we would allow it to guide us and direct us in a way that maximizes our intimacy with you. May we be a people who treasure your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.